This is This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's heart and soul.
It's 8:30 right now on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. This is where radio comes alive. We just checked our brand new music from Max Jr. with Shake That. And then we also had Tonya K with Burn Me Up. It's all Namibian and we love it on this platform. That's Namibia's Heart and Soul, isn't it? But every Thursday, Shake Kwan, we have the Minister of News in studio.
Unless you hear it from him, it's not relevant.
It's not relevant. It's not credible. It's not.
Right.
Yeah. You must hear it from Future Media News, and you must specifically hear it from Abudi David, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. That's unless he now sends out his team like Ositonata and Leonard
and Angie,
Verstanji, I believe.
We also are forgetting Veronica and Selma.
Who's reporting live from the States, by the way.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Abudi David, how are you doing this morning?
I'm all right, thanks. And you?
We're good.
I was just thinking, there's a guy I follow on Twitter who he calls himself the mayor of Durban. I mean, he's not the mayor of Durban, but he does a lot for Durban, so he calls himself the mayor of Durban. And I'm thinking, I'm probably going to have to change my Twitter handle soon.
To the Minister of News.
I might pick up some hassles from government.
Shikwan, before we get into our political jargon,
Sandile Kumede, Durban mayor.
Is it him? The mayor, the mayor of Durban.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Sorry.
But you know, the Kumede family does have money.
You caught me off guard there because I suddenly thought we were talking news, and I'm like, what?
No, I had to.
The mayor of Durban. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Know who the person is.
I believe. Shikwan, I'm sure there's an issue too that you saw in the last 7 days, 14 days. That comes to mind that I know for a fact David has got all the layers to.
I published one that I think you'd like.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it on the Future Media Future Media website.
No, I haven't.
I'm saying Future Media News website. It's not here yet. It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah,
I'll
yeah.
Wait.
but it's still on the Future Media website.
Website, yeah.
Africa Energy Forum, I believe. Africa Energy. Anyway, they have published the 25 under 40 inspirational, motivational women in the energy sector.
Yes.
And we have two Namibians on the list.
That's my jam. Do you know what? I actually did see. I saw an email from Christine Venter van Ogend. I just didn't open it.
Oh, no, that was a focus on one of the ladies. Presumably, we'll get focuses on all of them. I'm waiting until we get the focuses on our two Namibian ladies,
of course,
then I'll publish those ones. You can obviously go and find more information.
There's
a bio on the article that we published. There's a short bio on every single one of the ladies,
because
they're all quite inspirational and quite motivational.
Yeah.
But you know what? We want to celebrate our own. So,
yeah. And obviously,
so who are they, David?
Ndap. Washali, am I getting it right?
Bromiki.
Working for Recon.
Yes.
What's the other lady's name? I'm forgetting now. She works for ExxonMobil now, I believe. Yeah. She used to work for government as well. My brain's just going blank on it, but yeah.
Okay,
it's on the website.
Look it up there, and we'll find it quickly. Yeah.
I think the big talk is
Taimi
obviously
Tembu.
Taimi Tembu.
There we go, yeah.
Okay, there we go. I think the big talk of the whole continent right now has to be what's happening in Zimbabwe. They voted yesterday, and obviously, Nelson Chamisa and the incumbent President Mnangagwa, they had an interesting campaign trail, isn't it, David?
Did you see that people are pulling up with towels at the polling station
yesterday? this morning we also talked about the fact that the internet slowed down again.
Yep.
You know, but from a news perspective, what have you observed with the elections?
Well, it's quite interesting from the elections there is nobody wants to talk to us.
Oh, you tried to reach out.
We've got contacts. We've got people that we speak to
all around the world in
Zimbabwe. Yeah. And it's election time now, but nobody wants to talk. Everyone's suddenly like, no, even the journalists in Zimbabwe who often are the ones that are sort of, I don't want to say risking their lives, but taking a risk to report on certain things, as we've seen in the past in Zimbabwe, they're also just sort of gone a little bit quiet now and are just also waiting and seeing.
What does that indicate? That should be a bit of an indication of that all is not well on the ground.
I mean, we don't want to say because we're not there. Obviously, there are election observer teams that will be able to, and we'll start seeing that sort of information coming out in the days. Mm. You know, what happened at polling booths. We did see some of them opened late, but I mean, that happens pretty much. We have polling booths that open late as well, and that's not necessarily indicative of any tampering. It could just be a mistake. So we'll have to watch and see. Observers and analysts in the run-up to the elections have said, you know what, things aren't necessarily as bad as they were in the past, but they're still not perfect. There have still obviously been reports of intimidation. There have been reports of people being beaten up, of people sort of being disappeared for short periods of time. Mm. So there's still obviously issues. And we'll just have to wait and see what those issues are in the days that are coming. But like I said, the people that we're trying to talk to don't want to talk to us at the moment.
Yeah. So you know what's coming to what I'm thinking about right now? It's just that, listen, regardless of the outcome, I don't want to ask you who you would want to actually win the election. But like, regardless of the outcome, how difficult is it going to be for another party to take over and try to rectify what has been done for all these years?
Sure. I mean, I suppose it depends. If we look at Zambia as an example, they're doing pretty good job there of fixing things up pretty quickly. Zambia obviously had the youth tsunami or whatever it was being called that backed them. There were some analysts saying, you know, could Nelson Chamisa actually rely on that? Would the youth be able to come out in enough numbers to support him? I published an article on the website yesterday. It was quite an interesting one where they're saying how, and you talk about the internet being slowed down.
Yeah.
And this article was all about how Zimbabwean youth are using social media to mock politicians. And politicians don't like being mocked.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, so there's a couple of really popular Zimbabwean satirists. They've got YouTube channels. Mm. TikTok's obviously happening. And we spoke a week or two ago about TikTok actually being shut down in certain parts of East Africa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the continent. What was it? What country was it? I think it was Senegal or something.
And a lot of that was less to do with who owns TikTok and you know, what's happening with the data, and more to do with the fact that it is a platform where opposing voices can be heard and can be sort of sent out and had people have access to those voices via these platforms. So we haven't heard of them being sort of banned in Zimbabwe, but like you said, internet slowdowns, things like that do happen. Sometimes, yes, it's to stop the information getting out.
From getting out.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, look, I think on the continent, we have seen so many times, especially with elections, we've seen so many times where there's this enthusiasm about the youth, you know, and we're so vocal, you know, it's on the internet, and like, what are we going to do? We're going to do it. But it does not necessarily translate into the numbers on the ground.
That's what we need to wait and look for, as well as what were the statistics? How many people, how many voters were registered out of the population? How many of those registered voters actually bothered to turn up?
Yeah.
What percentage were female? What percentage were youth? What percentage? So that's where it becomes interesting after the elections to start analyzing and looking at all the data and seeing, you know, how could things have been different one way or the other?
You know what I'm thinking right now, Ney? That as much as we from the outside are somewhat outraged with what's happening, obviously that has been happening in Zimbabwe for the longest of time, like a lot of people on the ground are just, I don't want to say that they're not bothered. Okay.
But it's, but it's almost like,
like this is like a norm for us,
I was I can't even remember what online meeting it was, but the subject of South Africa's load shedding came up, and there was there was a Nigerian journalist in the meeting, and he said, like, you know, in Nigeria, the fascinating thing to them is how much of a big deal load shedding is in South Africa. And he's like, you know, this is Nigeria. We're used to this. This is how we live. Like, what are you guys complaining about? We have less electricity than you have, but it's such a big deal because it's happening in South Africa.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you say, when you look from the outside in, you get used to things. You know, you learn to deal with things. You learn to cope with certain things, I suppose. And maybe you just put it out of your mind. You know, if you were to be outraged every single day of your life.
Yeah, also.
Do we know of international observers that are stationed in Zimbabwe? Are there credible international observers in Zimbabwe?
I haven't actually seen, probably haven't looked deep enough to go and see who all is there. I haven't heard of a Namibian team going. There'll presumably be an African Union team there. But internationally, I'm not so sure of who actually was given access and accreditation. I'd have to go and dig into that.
How does that work real quick? Obviously, the international organizations, do they apply? Do they get invited?
Yeah, you'll have to. You'd have to apply for accreditation. You can't just pitch up. You could probably sort of sneak some people in under the radar, you know, and have people observing if it meant that much to you. You know, some international journalists that might not have gotten accreditation could have maybe, or media houses could have maybe gotten someone in under the radar. Obviously, you have certain risks when you do that, but that, you know, sometimes it's justified to get a story. I don't know if this story justifies certain risks, but there could have been people who got in. But yeah, if you want accreditation, you have to basically apply, and the country can say. And we know in the past, in past Zimbabwean elections, they pretty much flat out said to, especially the United Kingdom, you know, there's the tension that's there. They said to them, no, you're not coming. Go.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Okay.
That's crazy.
So we have a listener here that says that, good morning, I'm listening to you right now about the Zim election. Please get in touch with Hopeful Chinono.
Yeah, we've tried. We've spoken to Hopeful in the past. And even maybe Hopeful's just really, really busy at the moment because everyone will be phoning him from all over the world.
That's true. So
I'll give that the benefit of the doubt there. But yeah, no, we've been trying.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. It's 8:42 on Namibia's Heart and Soul.
So who do you want to win? Kelatuya, make your politics.
Yeah.
Please.
Look, listen, I think Zimbabwe deserves a younger leader. I feel Zimbabwe deserves a change. Just looking out from outside, and just, you know, me having this political fascination, Zimbabwe needs to turn the page. They need to turn the page. You know what I mean? And I was even saying in my private circles, even if ZANU-PF at least puts a younger technocrat there. Just a younger technocrat that can come with forward-thinking ideas.
I think that's
for the country.
The problem the world over at the moment. I mean, we even look at the who could potentially Biden versus Trump again.
Yesterday,
you know, we need younger people right across the board everywhere.
Yeah.
But like, also, even with the situation, hypothetically, if it ever had to happen, like a younger leader comes, takes that position for ZANU-PF, is it just someone that's going to be there for show, or someone who's actually going to lead? Because did you know what I mean? Like,
You can always. I mean, everyone
who has the real
can
power.
put the figurehead. We saw it with things like the early days of BEE, where you would sort of just hire someone to be the face, and look, we're good, we've transformed. Yeah. And meanwhile, that person doesn't actually get. And they get
0.5%
frustrated because they can't actually do anything. Yeah. So yeah, I get that. They could put somebody up, but who's pulling the strings?
Yeah.
Exactly. David Bishop, thank you so much for your time. It's Namibia's Heart and Soul. Stick around.
That was This Week Today on Fresh FM, Namibia's Heart and Soul.
Hey there, football fans. Are you ready to unleash your...